The Inheritance of Lion Hall by Corina Bowman. Translated by Michael Meigs. Performed by Nina Indis. A dazzling brilliance filled the room. I opened my eyes, thinking for a moment I was in my old room at Lion Hall. But the vision that greeted me in that first groggy moment wasn't elegant plaster molding. It was a long crack across a water-stained ceiling. The darker stains were already there when I'd moved in 2 years earlier. The lighter ones were recent, added by flooding in the apartment upstairs. Walls in Stockholm's university district were like sponges. That was why students paid such modest rents. My mother would have pronounced the place shabby and far beneath my status, but here, I was free to live my own life. I was taking art classes, even though the upper crust disdained such studies. What did I care about a few stains on the ceiling? A chilly breeze caressed my face. I looked around and saw the newspaper had peeled away from the damaged window. Again. The bottom panes had been broken long before by a boy whose antics in the street below had included flinging a rock. My landlord hadn't bothered to repair it. And I couldn't, because I'd have had to ask my father for money. He and I had another furious argument during the Christmas holiday. I hadn't been back to Lion Hall since. I hadn't written home either. I knew full well that my parents disapproved of my lifestyle. 2 years earlier, I'd petitioned the court to be declared independent and free of their guardianship, and they took it as an affront. They'd been expecting me to marry before I turned 25. I didn't. Instead, I took charge of my own life and made it perfectly clear that I had no intention of following the path they'd set out for me. I wouldn't inherit the estate anyway. It would go to the firstborn male heir, my brother, Henrik, the model child. Count Ture Leongård, my father, never tired of holding him up to me as an example. Henrik was older and I wasn't male, so I had the right to live my life as I pleased. My women friends and I were firmly of that opinion in any case, and we expressed it at every opportunity. One feature of the room I'd chosen for my new life was the sharp, persistent odor of turpentine. Its penetrating smell dominated the milder aromas of varnish and oil paint. Those smells never dissipated entirely. Even when I wasn't painting. I had no idea who the previous tenant of this room had been, but the next would know her predecessor had been a painter. Mikael stirred at my side. His mass of reddish-blonde hair came into sight between the pillows, followed by his squinting face. He opened one eye and then the other, then shut them tight to block out the sunshine.